Welcome to AM Best Audio.
As commercial insurers intensify their competition across several major lines, not only is it helping to fuel stability, but it's also providing more predictable outcomes for U.S. insurance buyers during renewals, according to the latest Lockton Market Update. The latest edition highlights changes in the overall U.S. economic and geopolitical outlook, the dramatic shift in the property marketplace after a five-year hard market, and conditions in the marine insurance market following the collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. I'm Lori Chortis for AmBest TV. Joining us now to discuss that and other findings from the recent market update is Mark Motoso, Executive Vice President and Risk Practices Leader at Lockton Companies. Mark, welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Lori, great to see you as well. And on behalf of all of us at Lockton, thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Mark, what is the current state of the U.S. commercial insurance market? And what impact is today's current economic and geopolitical climate having on the market?
Yeah, good question, Lori. I think that's the major headline. Let me first hit on the current commercial insurance marketplace. And again, as we highlighted in our June market update, we're seeing a fairly competitive, but I still want to qualify, disciplined marketplace. You know, prices for most products are flat to slight decreases, and examples of the decreases continue to be workers' compensation, D&O, and cyber. While we're seeing the most headwinds for our clients is really in the third-party coverages like commercial auto, general liability, and umbrella excess coverages, which is really due to the increased severity of claim outcomes that we've seen over basically the last decade. The big move that we really experienced, though, in the last quarter was the reversion of the property market towards flat. We're seeing clients achieving rate decreases, which we had not seen in 2022 and 2023. Programs are now being oversubscribed, and a general sense of competition is back in the marketplace. I do want to be clear, though, that we're seeing this improvement, but we're not seeing price points by any means revert back to 2017 and 2018 levels. What we're really seeing is a more stabilized, orderly marketplace, which I do think is good for the broad marketplace. The current economic and geopolitical climate is not just an issue for insurance, however. To go into your second question, it's really an issue for all businesses alike. You know, economically, stepping back on just the Fed, most businesses and economists were expecting interest rate cuts to already start to begin. But again, inflation's been somewhat stubborn, and there's been a reluctance to decrease interest rates. With that, there's an expectation that could potentially slower growth for most companies. And slower growth is 100% correlated with lower insurable interest. So as the broad economy goes, so does the insurance industry, right? There's that direct correlation. And there are also some economists that fear that sustained interest rates at this current levels may impact unemployment rates negatively as we head into the year, end of the year, and into 2025. So all these are, there's still outstanding risks to the marketplace. And of course, your question on the geopolitical view, I mean, let's be honest, the world may not have been this unstable as it's been for decades, right? If you think it off the top of our heads, and we have two active wars, soft conflicts, elevated inflation, soaring sovereign debt, increased political polarization, mass migration, rising cyber threats, and an emphasis on deglobalization and decarbonization. All of these things are going on. And put this against the backdrop that nearly 50% of the world's population is heading to the ballots this year. So again, there's a potential for sustained disruption that I don't know if has ever been higher, at least in our recent memories.
Well, you talked earlier about increased competition in the market. What is spurring that? And what does that mean for commercial insurance buyers?
Yeah, I mean, our industry is, I mean, at the premise of our industry, it's largely based on achieving a fair and risk-adjusted return on capital. That's what insurance organizations strive to do. Insurance companies raise capital, and those parties who provide their capital expect a return commensurate with the risk that they're assuming. So as you look at the 2023 earnings, and even in the first quarter earnings of 2024, the commercial marketplace is now at a point of making strong double digits return on equity. So those results spark increased interest in overall growth in the marketplace. Again, there are headwinds, and headwinds are particularly around climate volatility, and as I mentioned earlier, liability inflation. But by and large, the returns are strong. So again, as we look into 2024 and even into 2025, we do expect a more orderly outcome for our clients, and we certainly saw over the last 2 years.
Well, if we can dive a little bit deeper into some of those headwinds, what concerns are climate risk and social inflation creating for commercial insurers? And are there other new or evolving risks that they also now face?
Yeah, I mean, climate risk is clearly having an impact on insurance economics. And I think the best way to unpack this is with numbers. So let me frame this for a moment. In the 1980s, I know we're going way back, but the 1980s, on an average annual basis, the insurance industry would have about $5 billion of catastrophic losses. So that's the average over the decade in the 80s. Let's take it in the 2010s now. It was about $35 billion on average per year. So it's a 7x increase in just a very short amount of time. And in the 2020s, we're averaging nearly $80 billion now. So if you think about the overall change in just climate volatility and outcomes, it's enormous. And I know everyone will say, yes, Mark, people have moved to the coast. There's been migration to the coastlands. I get it. That's true. You can't refute demographic shifts as well. But at the end of the day, storm severity and volatility has increased. And it's not just what we consider sort of the traditional cats that we model with great sophistication with hurricanes and earthquakes. It's actually really coming from the frequency of billion-dollar events from severe convective storms, which are tornadic, hail, and wind, wildfires, which we really didn't talk much about 20 years ago in the industry, and extreme flooding, which comes with just torrential rains. So again, all of this is the causality behind that increasing trend that we see. As for social inflation, this is what is keeping pressure on third-party coverages, right? Every business deals with managing their cost of goods sold. Every company sets a price based on how much the underlying raw commodity is for their product. Insurance is no different. The raw product is two things: the expenses to run the insurance company, and the biggest cost is the expected value of the outcomes for claims that they're going to pay for policyholder obligations. What we continue to see for third-party coverages is the inflationary impact year over year is 2 to 3 times the normal run rate of inflation for liability coverages. So that is keeping an absolute pressure point on the marketplace for liability coverage. Again, I'm not going to get political. It's not about being political at all, but it is systemic. Some frame it as legal abuse, but any way you look at it, it is a growing tax on businesses and ultimately to consumers.
Absolutely.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
The Locked In Market Update discusses how insurance buyers should continue to challenge their thinking of property and casualty insurance programs, and it highlights 6 strategies to consider for the remainder of the year. Can you tell us a bit about those strategies?
Yeah, we list them out. I'm not going to go into all the details. I think our readers can go see it, but I just want to start out with just some philosophical ideas around this because, you know, I'm just a big believer that regardless of market conditions, you have to challenge, right? I think in soft markets, hard markets, insurance is about being a strategy. I'm also just a big believer that insurance is another form of capital for our clients. At the end of the day, what is insurance? You're borrowing the pooling power of an insurance enterprise. You're paying them a return for their risk capital for a fixed cost. So essentially what a client is doing is they're removing volatility from their earnings in terms of balance sheet. That's all they're doing. So insurance has many aspects of contract, compliance, regulation that are all super critical. I don't want to underscore that. However, it's also about financial optimization. So having alignment internally within a client, within the companies we partner with, around their philosophy around budget volatility versus fixed certainty in their budgets is such a critical starting point to any discussion on how to buy insurance. And again, that also helps us with helping clients set up program structures, creativity, and there are always a plethora of new and bespoke products that are coming in the marketplace. But if you never have a fundamental understanding of what your risk volatility is, you really can never be that strategic about how you buy insurance. Other areas we talk about in those talking points continue to be about the basics, right? Clients knowing their numbers. Again, just because markets may be easier in 2024 versus 2023, slightly easier, it doesn't imply that there's not a lack of need for efficacy around a client's understanding and communication around their business plan, their forecast, where their CapEx is in terms of improvements in their safety, their infrastructure, their building maintenance, and of course, their contingent risks. So while we continually emphasize the critic, and we also critically emphasize the criticality of those relationships in the marketplace with the carrier partners, building relationships also with potential future partners as well, and then telling an individual story. We love it when our clients can meet with an underwriting company and tell what they're doing and really what their overall plans are. It's very powerful. And finally, each line of coverage has a different value to an insurance company. So we also remind our readers that there is an art of leverage that happens in the marketplace. You know, you may have a bundle of insurance products that you need to buy. Some may be good, some may be not so good with the in terms of the market conditions. So making sure you're being strategic in how we're assigning and how we're thinking about market optimization. And again, as you know, my background and my bias is certainly more on the financial side of insurance. But I want to emphasize the words on paper really, really matter. And we highlight that in our six topics. It is still a legal contract. Read it. Simple as that. Read it. Brokers and buyers both have to ensure that the words on paper align with the intent of the coverage. Because otherwise, we know what happens. There's a lot of finger pointing. So again, as markets have tightened over the last 6 years, so have terms and conditions. So again, I always just fundamentally believe, read the policy, both us and of course our clients.
That's wonderful, wonderful advice. So Mark, can you tell us about any other key findings in the latest Locked In Market update?
You know, I think, we really hit on, I think, most of the key topics in our conversation so far. Again, I think that the headlines that we continue to emphasize is about being strategic, right? And you know, market conditions aside, insurance is, again, it's another form of capital for your company. And again, aligning the financial interests of your company with how you buy insurance and not buying insurance because you bought it away in the past is such a critical challenge that we try to continuously work with our clients on. And of course, with our carrier partners as well. So again, I think that's such an important headline that I always try to emphasize every time I know I'm personally working with clients myself.
Absolutely. And Mark, looking ahead, what is your outlook for the U.S. commercial insurance market for the remainder of this year and as we move into 2025?
Yeah, I think, crystal ball time, right? We do summarize it pretty well in our update in terms of just overall pricing conditions in the marketplace, but we are continuing to expect this overall stabilized marketplace. And another thing we'd like to use is predictability, right? Again, I think, you know, we can't be precise to the 10th to the decimal point here per se. But at the end of the day, we can really clarify and understand ranges to help our clients set budgets in terms of, you know, their future insurance costs. You know, again, there's still that there's that challenge on third-party coverages. We will continue to see third-party coverages increase at a rate, largely due to that claim severity we talked about earlier. But what most other lines are behaving accordingly. I will caveat again, though, that we are at the beginning of what is predicted to be a very busy tropical season. And so we all know that if there are major landfalling events in the United States, that will revert the marketplace. By all means, it'll change the reinsurance marketplace potentially, and certainly the retail marketplace. So again, all eyes are on certainly the tropics given the forecast. And we just saw what Hurricane Beryl did across, the Caribbean, Jamaica, ultimately into Texas and creating tornadoes up in the Northeast now. So again, we know that there is that volatility that is out there and that potential risk.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, this has been so interesting, so informative, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to everyone at AM Best. We appreciate you.
That was Mark Matoso, Executive Vice President and Risk Practices Leader at Locked In Companies. For AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry?
We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.